European investors consider new political risks. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Catalonia has moved a step closer to direct rule, though Spain's given its president till Thursday to clarify if he's declared independence. And Austria has elected the world's youngest leader, 31-year-old conservative Sebastian Kurz, and any future coalition, possibly with the far right, could impact all of Europe. Sue Nofke is UK equities manager with Schroders. Austria first, what's the mood?
I think it will have possibly some implications for Germany and the coalition that's being formed there. The negotiations that Europe has with the UK over Brexit, where immigration and people's rights are very much top of the agenda and up for a lot of debate. So I think it's not necessarily helpful for keeping what is quite a flash topic lower down on the agenda.
If we kind of look at this morning at the headlines coming out of Austria and the headlines coming at the moment out of Catalonia, what kind of a landscape is it for investors this morning?
I think investors had become much more sanguine about political risk as we'd gone through 2017, especially following the French elections. And what the recent news does is force people back to look at politics and how that interacts in terms of markets and economies. And I think that's probably at the margin a bit more unsettling, but it doesn't seriously rock the boat for European investors.
Sue Nofke, let's do the numbers. Asian markets at new highs. Japan's Nikkei hit a 21-year peak despite shares of Kobe Steel falling to a 5-year low after revelations about substandard safety data. And spreads on the Spanish 10-year bond have widened 2.5 basis points in early trading. Iraqi forces say they have captured positions in the oil-rich city of Kirkuk from Kurdish fighters. The city is claimed by both sides. Jamie Ingram is Gulf editor for the Middle East Economic Survey in Cyprus. What does an Iraqi takeover mean?
Well, it very much depends on how far into Kirkuk they advance. Just to put some perspective on this, total Kurdistan production is around 600,000 barrels a day. And of this, around 380,000 barrels a day of production is from disputed territory, primarily around Kirkuk. If the Iraqi forces continue to advance, even if they don't deliberately attack the oil field infrastructure, clearly the fighting around it can put a serious dampener on production there. And if it gets knocked off entirely, that's a large part of production taken away from global production overall, let alone the oil revenues which Kurdistan depends on.
So what impact might it have on oil markets? You mentioned that, of course, it might have an impact on revenues for the Kurdish government.
If suddenly 380,000 barrels a day is taken away from the market, that's going to provide quite a sizable bump to prices. As to how much this has impacted on the latest price rises, that's up for debate as at the moment the oil continues to flow. But if these sizable sums are taken off of global oil production, then we could see an increase above $60 a barrel.
Jamie Ingram. Here in Britain, a new coin celebrates the life of Sir Isaac Newton, the man behind the theory of gravity. But Newton also had a role in making Britain's coinage more secure, as I found out when I visited his childhood home in the north of England. So this is Isaac Newton's house, made of a honey-coloured stone with a steep pitched roof. And there's the family coat of arms, two crossed sheep bones.
My name's Anne Blackett. I'm the administrator at Woolsthorpe Manor. He was born actually on Christmas Day in 1642. His mother said he was the size of a quart pot and they had to tie a blanket around his neck to stop his head falling over.
Well, that scrawny newborn grew to be a scientific giant.
So we're going upstairs in the manor.
Stephen is a tour guide.
Newton's own room.
My goodness, this feels like he could have just been here moments ago.
He'd done experiments in this room with light and prisms and lenses and got his theory of colours, and he'd got at least the basics of the laws of motion.
Wow, so this is it. This is the apple tree.
This is the apple tree. This is Isaac Newton's tree.
It's ancient, you can see that. Do we know if Isaac Newton was sitting under the tree and had one of these big round apples fall on his head?
Well, he certainly told the story of walking in a garden and seeing an apple fall from the tree. And he wondered, why did it fall straight down? You know, so he's already thinking in terms of a power that draws the apple to the ground.
For the last 30 years of his life, Newton ran Britain's Royal Mint at a time when the country's coins were in crisis.
Well, he was designing coinage which was less easily counterfeited or having its edges clipped off to collect silver.
Some now claim that Newton's new coin saved Britain around $13 million over time. So it's fitting that he's now on a commemorative coin. In the gift shop, I meet Paul Metz of Wisconsin, who's buying 16 silver Newton coins for his kids and grandkids.
Hopefully the cost of silver will increase and they'll have a little inheritance here.
You know, they say about gravity, what goes up must come down.
It better be going up. That's all I can say.
The Isaac Newton coin. Well, another anti-counterfeiting milestone today is Britain's old £1 coin ceases to be legal tender. Tomorrow, I'll be speaking to the Bank of England's cashier about the future of physical currency. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.